Well, good morning. You have your Bibles. Turn to Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7. Beginning in verse 1, God's word says, reading on the ESV, "Judge not, that you be not judged. For with the judgment you pronounce, you will be judged. With the measure you use, it will be measured to you. Why do you see the speck that is in your brother's eye, but do you not notice the log that is in your own eye? Or how can you say to your brother, 'Let me take the speck out of your eye,' when there is the log in your own eye? You hypocrite. First, take the log out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to take the speck out of your brother's eye. Do not give dogs what is holy. Do not throw your pearls before pigs, lest they trample them underfoot and turn to attack you." Let us pray. Father, we just thank you for your word that we, again, have the joy and the privilege of reading aloud together. Lord, would you speak? Would you speak, O Lord, as we come to you? Would you feed us, as it were, through your holy word? Lord Jesus, would you get much glory in this place? Would you shine ever bright? In your name I pray. Amen. As Pastor Brian pointed out, we've been walking through the Sermon on the Mount, and we find ourselves in chapter 7. Thus far, it's been said many a times that God is after the heart of his people. It's not behavior modification, but he wants our hearts. Last week, the call was to trust God in the midst of our circumstances. Do not worry. Do not be anxious. Seek God first. And this week, Jesus is going to turn our attention from our circumstances to how we interact with one another. And yet, he's after the same thing, our hearts. He's after the posture of our hearts. And so this morning, what is the posture of your heart toward others? You know, at one point, this verse, "Judge not that you be not judged," it's been used and abused. Only God can judge me. You can't judge me. You don't even know me. But now our society condemns people left and right. You have an opinion, you get canceled. You get judged. And sadly, that judgmental mindset has crept into the church at large. You let your kids do that? Judged. You spent how much money on that? Judged. You have how many shoes? Judged. You struggle with anxiety? Depression? Sexual sin? Judged. You voted for who last week? You laugh. You name it. Sometimes it's hard to talk to some people because we fear we'll be judged. Yet in this passage, Jesus calls his followers to not give judgment we can't take. He calls us to give attention to ourselves first, and only afterwards to render appropriate judgment to the aid of our brothers in upholding the beauty of the gospel. I want to look at this text from this angle of give and take. Give and take. As Jesus continues his Sermon on the Mount, he tells the crowds what type of judgment they are to give what type of judgment they are not to give, and what type of judgment they will then take. We have 3 points. The first point, you give it, you got to take it. You give it, you take it. Jesus says, judge not that you be not judged, for with the judgment you pronounce, you will be judged. The measure you use, it will be measured to you. Let's first look at what this does not mean. We conclude that Jesus does not mean that we should not judge other people. For he himself later says in our sermon text, verse 6, do not give dogs what is holy. And do not throw your pearls before pigs. Well, how do you know what a dog is? Or how do you know what a pig is? Unless you have some form of judgment, some form of evaluation, of discernment, to inform yourself whether one is indeed a dog, a pig, sheep. Later in the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 17, we're going to get there. Verse 15, Jesus exhorts the crowds to watch out for false prophets. He says in verse 16, by their fruit, the false prophets, you will recognize them. He goes on to say, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, and a bad tree cannot bear good fruit. How will we know what a false prophet looks like? What he or she acts like? We must judge. We must use a level of discernment, of evaluation of people by the fruit they bear in their lives. And so Jesus' own teaching in this context, but in the greater his greater ministry, dispels the saying, only God can judge me. Jesus calls all of us in the room, to have some level of discernment. He especially calls us pastors among us to watch out for false teachers, as we saw in 2 Timothy, to protect the sheep from those who creep into the church. And so what type of judgment is Jesus referring to when he says, judge not that you be not judged? I believe he's referring to a judgment of condemnation. And to a lesser degree, that of superiority. He's saying, don't condemn people. Or don't judge people with a spirit that says, you're better than them. You're better than those people. You struggle with that sin? You spent money on that? You voted for that person? You're an inferior Christian. Or perhaps you're not even a Christian. Now, perhaps we wouldn't say that out loud, but that's what resonates in our hearts sometimes, doesn't it? And what Jesus is saying here is, don't do that. Don't have that spirit in you. Don't give that type of judgment. Now, why? Why aren't we to judge in that way? I believe there's at least two reasons here. One, you and I don't know the heart of man. We can't condemn because we don't know the heart of man. And if we've got anything from the Sermon on the Mount, that is what Jesus is most concerned with, the heart. And because you and I can only judge by fruit, we can't condemn others. We can't cast people to hell, and so we ought not to have that kind of heart posture. Secondly, Jesus says we shouldn't judge others lest we be judged ourselves. He says in verse 2, for with the judgment you pronounce, you will be judged, and with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. You give it, you take it. You give it, you got to take it. The reality is none of us want to be judged. No one in the room. If I said, who wants to be, none of you in the room, in your right mind, would raise your hand and say, I want to be judged. And so, why should we have a judgmental spirit towards the person next to us? The golden rule is coming in our sermon series. So whatever you wish that others would do to you, do also to them. For this is the law and the prophets. None of us want to be judged, so we shouldn't judge other people. We shouldn't condemn other people. We shouldn't think we're better than other people, for we wouldn't want them to do that to us. If you give a spirit of judgment towards others, a spirit of judgment will be given to you. As the modern saying goes, what goes around comes around. Now, it doesn't say who will give this judgment, right? It says, for with the judgment you pronounce, you will be judged. And with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. But who will do the judging toward you should you give such judgment? Is it the world? Is it other people? Is it the person that you judged? Perhaps. But at the very least, argue, it's God. God will judge. Jesus says early in the Sermon on the Mount, chapter 6, 14, we've been there. For if you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. You forgive others, God forgives you. You don't forgive others, God won't forgive you. Thus, keeping with Jesus' train of thought, if you judge others, God will judge you. If you don't judge others, God won't judge you. Again, I believe this is the spirit of judgment. This is what's in your heart. It's a heart posture, that you're judging, condemning other people. Now, will you or I, if we were to judge someone in a sinful manner, will God condemn us to hell? Our brother said other. There is therefore now no condemnation for those in Christ. But if we have a spirit of judgment, if that's who we are, if that's our nature, God will judge us with that same measure. We live in a world where people, namely Christians, are quick to judge. We have a superior complex and believe very strongly that our views are right and that others aren't simply wrong. Others' views are flat out sinful. Those who disagree with us, they disagree with God himself. Some people believe that every one of their thoughts is God-inspired. From politics, to how to raise a family, to what food you ought to put in your body. And they judge other people for it. Oh, saint, with the judgment you pronounce, it will be pronounced unto you. With the measure you use, it will be measured to you. You give it, you gotta take it. You can't be critical towards others and expect other people or God himself not to be critical of you. You can't expect other people to give you the benefit of the doubt when you don't give other people that same energy. The energy you give in judging in someone else, you better be ready to take it. The energy you give in judging someone else, you better be ready to take it because it will be given to you. You give it, you gotta take it. And you or I don't want God to have a spirit of judgment toward you, so we shouldn't have that towards other people. Now, what type of judgment do you want from God? Surely we all want a spirit of compassion and grace, really mercy. I love the way John Stott puts it. The command to judge is not a requirement to be blind, but rather a plea to be generous. We are to give a judgment that is generous, merciful. Aren't you glad this morning that God was generous to you? I heard one. He didn't bring the hammer down on us that we sometimes can bring down on one another. Listen to these words from James chapter 2. For whoever keeps the whole law but fails in one point has become guilty of all of it. For he who said, do not commit adultery, also said, do not murder. If you do not commit adultery but do murder, you have become a transgressor of the law. So speak and so act as those who are to be judged under the law of liberty. Verse 13. For judgment is without mercy to one who has shown no mercy. Mercy triumphs over judgment. Christian, where do we see clearly the mercy of God? Have we already not seen it this morning? It is at the cross. Aren't you glad that Christ has shown you mercy at the cross? We likewise are to be generous and extend such mercy to others. For what we give, we will take. Point one, you give it, you take it. Next one, number two. Give attention, give and take. Give attention to yourself. Take your log out first. Give attention to yourself. Take your log out first. Jesus says, in verse 3, why do you see the speck that is in your brother's eye, but do not notice the log that is in your own eye? Or how can you say to your brother, let me take the speck out of your own eye, where there is the log in your own eye? Verse 5, you hypocrite. First, take the log out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly the speck out of your own brother's eye. Give attention to yourself. Take your log out first. Jesus is the master teacher. He's a better teacher than I am. And he loves a good illustration, doesn't he? And so here he goes to his carpentry roots to bring home his point. Again, Jesus' point is not do not judge. That's not the main point here. For the illustration Jesus gives, Jesus conveys that one needs to judge. One needs to evaluate, to discern properly in order to give guidance and help a brother out, to take the speck out of the brother's eye. But first, the person must give attention to his own heart. Consider it for yourself. There's someone you know, and you see that this person, this brother or sister, has the tiniest of faults, a splinter, a little piece of wood in their eye, in their life. Perhaps it's a small pet sin, or perhaps they've made a decision that's not biblically wise. Whatever it is, it's really small. But you see it. You see it. For you, this splinter, it's as clear as day. Who needs an eye doctor when you're the person to show them this speck? Jesus is saying here, some people, we loved to help others see the speck in their eye. We can see other people's issues so clearly. We can see clearly what's going on in somebody else's life. Meanwhile, we have, the text says, a log or a beam that Brother Blake might use for a floor or for a roof. And this big beam in our own eye. We see their issues so clearly, and yet we got issues of our own. Ask yourself, am I so caught up in someone else's life that I can't see my own? Am I so caught up in someone else's small little issue? When I can't see clearly the log in my own eye. Jesus is not telling us to not go help that brother. But what he's doing for his disciples and for us this morning is he's challenging his followers here. Is how can we help other people when we have a bigger problem? He says first, take the log out of your eye. And then, once you do that, look at the text. First, verse 5, take the log of your own eye, and then, you will see clearly to take the speck out of your brother's eye. Grace Church, visitors, do you have a log in your own eye? Do you have a log in your own eye? If so, it should be obvious, right? It's right there in front of you. Can you see it? You shouldn't have to think about it. It's right there. But perhaps you and I are so nearsighted that we can't see past the sins of others. Perhaps we're so nearsighted that we can't see past the sins of others. Perhaps instead of glasses, we need a mirror to see our log. And so may we go to God's word to examine ourselves. Look again at Jesus' words in the Sermon on the Mount. Ask yourself, am I pure in heart? Am I a pure peacemaker? Am I salty, as it were? I accuse this person of not being in the light by their actions. Am I the light of Christ? Do I show my light? Or is it hidden? Am I easily angered? And just continue to march your way through the Sermon on the Mount and see if there be a log in your own eye. And dear one, if there is, you got to take it out. If there be a log in your eye, you got to first take it out. Now, how do you take out your log first? I submit to you three ways. First, come to Christ with a humble heart. The reality is, everybody in this room is jacked up. You and I aren't perfect. We're not good enough. You're not better than the person behind you, the person in front of you, the rich, the poor, the sick, the healthy, the kid behind you who can't stop moving and talking. We must humble ourselves before the Lord if we're to take the log out of our own eye. Two, come to Christ with a confessing and repentant heart. Confess your sin to him. Be clear. Be specific. Own it. Confess your sin and turn to Christ in repentance. And third, if you're to take the log out of your own eye, come to Christ with a thankful heart for the forgiveness that he offers in the gospel. A heart of gratitude, a heart of worship, For Christ has forgiven a sinner like you. If you do that, you will take the log out of your own eye. And when you are humble before Christ, confessing your sins, thankful for the gospel of Christ in you, then and only then will you be able to take the speck out of your brother's eye. You're going to be able to see clearly your brothers in Christ for the image bearers that they are. Your first glimpse of them will be a heart of love, a heart of compassion, a heart of care, and not a heart of scrupulous judgment. A heart of love and not a heart of condemnation. Perhaps it will be your humble love and genuine care for them that will be what removes the speck from his or her heart. Perhaps it's your lowering of yourself as you considered your own log that will be what removes the speck from their own eyes. It might be you having a heart-to-heart conversation that enables you to clearly see and remove the speck out of their own eye. But that can't happen if you don't give attention to your own heart and take the log out of your own eye. So when you see your brother or sister not being wise, perhaps with their money, their time, you see them listening to things that are unhealthy, or start to believe ideas that could lead them down a path of destruction. You see a speck in their eye. First, put away your glasses and get out your mirror. Put away your glasses and get out your mirror and take the log out of your eye first. And once you got your log out, then, verse 5, then go and help your brother or sister out with that same heart posture. A heart posture of humility, a heart of gratitude for them, and the gospel. Third point, give what's holy and valuable to those who appreciate it. Give what is holy and valuable to those who appreciate it. Give and take away from those who don't. Jesus ends with another illustration. Some commentators, they're stumped about how this verse fits into the context. Is it an aside? Or does it flow from Jesus' previous thoughts? I believe it flows with Jesus' thoughts in the previous verses. Jesus says, verse 6, do not give dogs what is holy. And do not throw your pearls before pigs, lest they trample them underfoot and turn to attack you. As I mentioned earlier, Jesus' point is not that his followers should never judge anyone. Here in verse 6, Jesus calls his disciples to not give dogs what is holy. As mentioned earlier, you have to do some discernment to figure out what a dog is if you are to obey this command. Now, what's a dog? In Jesus' day, dogs, they're wild, untrained animals. We have a lot of those in Memphis running our streets. They would roam the streets like scavengers, searching for loitered food, trying to find their next meal. And a faithful Jew wouldn't give what is holy to that kind of dog. Now, perhaps what is holy refers to that of holy food, food that was set apart for the temple service, for sacrifice. And there was leftovers, and a faithful Jew wouldn't give those leftovers from the temple to a dog. They wouldn't appreciate it. They feast on scraps, not such holy things. be like if my wife and I, Taylor, we went out to a fancy restaurant and we had steak. And it was medium rare and it was amazing. But we were so full. So we couldn't eat it all. So we would take home leftovers. And there's someone that we know that has a bunch of dogs. And we would just give that our leftovers to these dogs. That wouldn't be fitting. Those dogs wouldn't be able to appreciate the beauty and the glory of that magnificent steak. It's the same thing here. Jesus goes on to say, a faithful Jew wouldn't give a pig pearls. Pearls are precious. Jesus refers in Matthew 13 as the kingdom of heaven, like a pearl, great value, great price. If you were to give a pig pearls, they would soon realize that their intended use was not food. They think you tricked them. And they would probably spit out the pearl. In anger, they'd step on the pearl. They would trample it underfoot, as it were. And perhaps come after you next. What Jesus is saying here is don't give a person something that you have over time judged and have discerned they won't appreciate it for what it is. Don't give a person something that you know from your interactions they won't understand the beauty of what it is you're giving them. They won't understand the function of what it is that you have given them. If you keep giving the beautiful, the holy, set-apart gospel to a dog, they won't appreciate it. They'll attack you. You give precious pearls of wisdom to a pig. You try to point out the splinter, the little splinter in that pig's eye, as it were. Time and time again, you do that as graciously as you can. They won't give you a hug. They won't say thank you. They'll take your words and they'll trample them underfoot. And perhaps you keep doing that long enough, they'll come after you. They'll attack you. They'll tell lies about you. They'll attack your character. You fill in the blank. They don't want your help. So don't give it to them. Jesus says in Matthew 10 to his apostles, if anyone will not receive you or listen to your words, shake off the dust from your feet. And you leave that town or house. Excuse me, house or town. Don't stay and keep talking to them. That your reason and logic and your grace is going to win them over. Leave. Proverbs 9:8. Do not reprove a scoffer or he will hate you. Reprove a wise man and he will love you. The scoffer, the dog, the pig, they don't like to be corrected. As we were called to do in verse 5. They don't want the speck out of their eye. The wise man wants the speck removed. He loves you for telling him or her that he's got a little something in their eye. The scoffer goes from defense to offense really quickly. Begins to attack you, to slander you. You ever try to tell somebody there's something in their teeth? What's their reaction? They don't hit you. They say thank you. It's the same thing with a wise person. You tell them they got a splinter. They're thankful. The dog, the pig, the scoffer, they attack you. Don't give what's holy. Don't give what's of great value to those kind of people. Take it away. Leave. Oh, but give what's holy. Give that pearl of wisdom, of care, to those who will appreciate it. Continue to give to the one who you see, the ones you see are thankful for your reproof. And take away your words of counsel for the hard-hearted who despise your correction. A few additional words and then I'll close. Let us, Grace Church, humble ourselves to the risen Christ. Give attention to ourselves and take the logs out of our own eyes. And then go help our brothers and sisters to take the speck out of their own eyes. Two, may we be humble enough, and I say we on purpose, may we be humble enough to receive wise counsel from those among us. You know, we've made a covenant one to another, and I know that you love me, and you ought to know that I love you. And so when you come to me, let us be humble ourselves to receive words of wise counsel of someone to help remove the splinter out of our own eyes. In Grace Church, may we become less and less like the world in this category of judgment. May we be a church that does not have a spirit of casting judgment on others. May we, by faith, look again to Jesus, the one who had every right to cast judgment on us, but instead humbled himself and took on himself the judgment that we deserved by going to the cross. May we see that he was condemned so that we wouldn't have to be. And as we gaze upon Christ at Calvary, may we then see him breathe his last. See him taken from that cross, buried in that tomb, oh, and resurrected 3 days later. For he conquered death, he conquered judgment, and he empowers us, his people, to be free, to no longer be condemned, but to experience his blessed peace. Oh, do you see him? Will you see him? Let us pray. Father, thank you for your son Jesus and his blood applied. Thank you for your mercy that is triumphed over judgment. That there's many in this room who will not experience your full wrath because you have shown us a great mercy. And I pray for anyone under the sound of my voice who has not experienced that mercy. Oh, that your spirit would go get them today. That they would be able to experience peace with God through Jesus. That they will be able to say that I too will not stand condemned. That I will not be judged by God himself. Would you do that? And for us who know Jesus, oh, would you continue to transform our hearts, sanctify our hearts and minds to become like the Savior. May we be merciful. May we extend it. Oh, and if there be a log in our eye, would your spirit prompt us to take it out?